Dear English listeners, please skip to 6:30 if you don't want to listen to the German introduction. Now sit back and enjoy dress relief with our man Kish. Gang gang swag.
Oh, here's a Schlitzboy. Everybody knows I don't speak like good English. And yeah, this is the podcast of my boy Kish Cash and Dress Relief. Love you guys.
Hallo Dressies, wie geht's?
Hallo liebe Dressies, ein kurzes Intro, bevor wir mit der eigentlichen Folge für heute beginnen. Kurz vorweg gesagt, die heutige Folge ist auf Englisch.
Nicht auf Deutsch.
Nicht auf Deutsch. Nehmt uns bitte nicht übel, wenn wir uns ein, zwei Mal verhaspeln, denn wir waren in der Präsenz von einem ganz, ganz großartigen Herren aus London. Ein guter Freund von mir namens, Sebi, wie heißt unser Gast?
Kish Cash.
Ganz genau. Einige von euch kennen ihn vielleicht von unserem letzten Clubhouse-Talk zum Thema Supreme Spring Summer 21. Da ist der gute Mann, obwohl er kein Deutsch spricht, irgendwann in den Talk gekommen und wir haben sofort, weil wir unbedingt seine Meinung dazu hören wollten, auf Englisch geswitcht und dann anderthalb Stunden lang nur ihm zugehört quasi, denn dieser Mann hat die Gabe zu erzählen, stundenlang, tagelang, wochenlang und es wird keine Sekunde langweilig.
Und ihr Dressies seid uns ja dann auch direkt fleißig in die DMs geslidet und habt euch gewünscht, dass wir den guten Mann einladen und euer Wunsch war uns Befehl und deshalb sind wir heute hier.
Ganz genau. Lustige Geschichte dazu, ich werde ganz kurz noch vorweg erzählen, wie ich ihn kennengelernt habe. Waldhaus war das Jahr 2013 oder 14. Ich war ein junger Turnschuhmessenveranstalter und nutzte die Einkünfte einer Messe, um nach London zu fliegen mit meiner damaligen Freundin. Weil man aber auch das Geld nicht zum Fenster rauswerfen wollte, hatten wir damals beschlossen, wenn der Flug schon um 7 Uhr morgens geht, dann braucht man ja kein Hotelzimmer für die Nacht, was eine sehr, sehr blöde Idee ist, denn so gut kann man sich auch nicht die Nacht um die Ohren schlagen, wenn man eine Menge Koffer und Einkaufstüten dabei hat.
Und aber dann hat Kisch dich ausgeraubt und so habt ihr euch kennengelernt.
Lass mich weiter erzählen. In London gibt es meinen absoluten Lieblingsladen, nämlich Maharishi. Über den Store werden wir in der Folge auch noch etwas reden. Und ich wollte ihn unbedingt meiner Freundin damals zeigen. Ich meinte zu ihr, das ist der Laden, wo ich angefangen habe, wirklich mich für Streetwear zu interessieren. Wo es wegging vom LRG-Pullover, plötzlich komplett andere Welt, plötzlich platzt dir der Kopf, weil du zum ersten Mal Michael Laudank siehst. Wir gingen in den Laden rein, ich fing an, ihr alles zu erklären und die Leute, die dort arbeiten, merkten halt, dass ich quasi ihren Job übernommen habe, dass ich ihr das Konzept erklärt habe, dass ich ihr gesagt habe, hier, schau dir an, darum steht das da und darum es hängen da irgendwelche Requisiten aus Stanley Kubrick-Filmen etc. und haben mich dann gefragt, wer bist du? Was machst du so? Wir kamen ein bisschen ins Reden, es waren ja hier bla bla bla, Turnschuhmesse mache ich. Wir gucken jetzt mal hier ein bisschen weiter. In der Zeit hatten die Herren mich gegoogelt und sind auf eine Videoserie namens When Did You Fall In Love With Kicks, die ich damals gemacht habe, aufmerksam geworden. Und meinten zu mir, dass sie jemanden in London kennen, der perfekt wäre für dieses Videoformat. Und ob ich Interesse dran habe, dass sie mir einen Kontakt herstellen. Und ich meinte, ja, natürlich so. Wir waren halt im Inbegriff, uns darauf vorzubereiten, London zu verlassen, aber gut, vielleicht fürs nächste Mal. Naja, ich gab meine Telefonnummer weiter und keine Minute später klingelte mein Telefon und dieser Herr, Kish, war dran. Wir redeteten kurz, er meinte auch schon, hey, ich habe mir das kurz angeguckt und so weiter, wenn du Bock hast, können wir das gerne mal machen. Ich so, ja, okay, ich fliege aber morgen früh wieder. Ja, egal, komm einfach vorbei. Und ich guckte meinen Freunden und ich so, hey, sollen wir zu einem Typen hinfahren, den ich noch nie getroffen habe und mit dem den Abend über rumhängen und über Schuhe reden und naja, wir sind hingefahren. Ich weiß nicht mehr, welches Viertel das war, aber es war auf jeden Fall ein Viertel in London, in dem ich vorher noch nie war. Wir kommen dahin, gehen zu seinem Haus, ich klinge und er kommt uns entgegengelaufen und sagt nur so, hast du ein iPhone? Ich so, ja, habe ich, aber Akku ist gleich leer. Ja, ich brauche das gleich. Bring das mal bitte nach oben, lad das auf, wir müssen eben noch mal wohin und eure Koffer könnt ihr auch oben reinpacken. Ich denke mir so, okay, ich packe jetzt einfach meinen Koffer und mein Telefon bei jemandem, den ich noch nie getroffen habe, in die Wohnung und steig mit ihm ins Auto und okay, gerne. Hab das dann auch gemacht. Wir stiegen ins Auto. Er war wirklich, in a rush, wie der Englishman sagt, fuhr aus der Einfahrt rückwärts raus, fuhr gegen eine Laterne. Ich saß auf der linken Seite vorne im Auto. Es war wie eine Achterbahnfahrt und ich hatte keine Ahnung, wo dieser Mann mit uns hinfahren möchte, bis wir bei einer UPS-Zentrale ankamen. Bis er aus dem Auto sprang, da rein sprintete und zurückkam mit einem riesigen Karton von Sneakers and Stuff und einem breiten Lächeln im Gesicht, das Gold wert ist. Der meinte, kam ins Auto und meinte, okay, now we can start talking. Er musste halt Schuhe abholen, denn das ist eine Sache, die dieser Mann liebt. Schuhe, Platten, Musik, Mode, davon ist dieser Mann besessen, im Positiven. Wir gingen in seine Wohnung, wir haben ein Video zusammen aufgenommen, das kann man bei YouTube noch finden, und ich habe mit diesem Mann, den ich vorher noch nie getroffen habe, 4 Stunden über Hip-Hop und Schuhe und Klamotten geredet. Die Wohnung komplett voll mit Platten, mit Schuhen. Ein Kamin war da drin, der Kamin wurde nicht genutzt, in den Kamin wurden Schuhe und Platten reingepackt, um noch mehr Platz zu nutzen. So ist dieser Mann drauf. Dieser Mann ist eine Legende, dieser Mann weiß, wovon er redet, und ich bin mehr als glücklich, dass wir diesen Mann heute in dieser Dress-Relief-Folge haben. Also, Freunde, gibt's noch irgendwas zu sagen vorher, Sebi? Ich wollte eigentlich noch sagen, wie schrecklich die Kinder vom Bahnhof Zoo-Serie ist, aber darauf gehe ich vielleicht in späteren Folgen nochmal ein. Die ist nämlich ganz schrecklich. Ich würde sagen, wir fangen an, oder? Ich habe sie zu Ende geschaut. Können wir nächstes Mal besprechen?
Naja. Schaut schneller, es ist jetzt online. Wir haben den Link bei uns in der Bio. Und sonst gibt's eigentlich eh nichts Neues.
In dem Sinne, liebe Dressies, hier ist Folge 3, Staffel 4 mit unserem Freund Kish Cash aus London. Viel Spaß.
Shoutout.
My dear friends from all over the world, please, German listeners, if you are not able to understand English, it's a pity for you, because this time, Sebi and me, we're going to switch to English to talk to a good friend of mine who I have not seen in a long, long while. But if you attended our Clubhouse talk about Supreme season, spring, summer season 21, you might have listened to some wisdom that this guy was spreading, my good friend Kish from London. And without further ado, I don't even try to introduce you, because if I would try to introduce you, this would take ages. Because with all the praise and all and everything, because I really, really love you. So Kish, it's very good to have you here. Would you please introduce yourself to not just the German listeners, but to everybody worldwide, but I think everybody worldwide who knows anything about fashion, streetwear or sneakers already knows you, but please tell us something.
Oh, thank you very much, Kaiser. Good to know that the checks are still coming through and you're getting the money to big me up all the time. Do you know what I mean? After all these years. Do you know what I mean? So my name's Kish Cash. I'm holding it down in London. Originally, I'm from a small town outside of London called Aylesbury. And I was always coming up, you know, on the train, always on, you know, to London to discover all the spots and know where to go and just hunt stuff down. And this is way pre-internet. And this was, you just had to have your street smarts about you. And, you know, that's just led me up to where we are now, because I was hunting for sneakers, for clothes, for hip hop vinyl, comics, the whole lot. And now, you know, it's quite funny that I've actually been able to utilize all of my passion and knowledge in a way that's led to me working, which I never would have thought. All these things that I was into, just because I just was fascinated by them, I resonated with them and I loved it. It's just led to me, you know, being part of this whole street, you know, music fashion thing that's going on. So I guess you could say, you could either way, the term that I describe myself as, and this could be so pretentious, so apologies to all the listeners out there, right, but I'll say a cultural curator, you know what I mean, because I curate within all the aspects of culture, you know, like whatever, food, music, doing a radio show or any way that I work with brands or and all that kind of stuff. It's, you know, it's just a that's what I think I involve in. The fact that I've also helped out with a few exhibitions in my time, and I will be doing in the future. So, and I'm writing a book and all sorts of things. I say cultural curator is a, I don't know. What do you think? Is that a good way to look at it? I don't know.
I think it's a great way to introduce you. But before we talk a little bit more in detail about everything, it's it's 2021 and there is a pandemic going on. We all know that. But besides that, for the last couple of years, there was another pandemic already going on, in form of how much is your outfit worth videos on YouTube. Are you familiar with this illness that's spreading all over the world?
I'm familiar with it. I didn't follow it. Okay, that's the key thing.
We don't follow them either. But we start every podcast because when Xavi and me meet, because I'm in Berlin right now, I recently moved here, but before that I was in Dortmund. Xavi is living in Munich, so we don't see each other that often. But when we see each other after a long day of talking about serious stuff, friendship and stuff, we usually end up on YouTube watching those videos and looking at all those ridiculous outfits. And that's why we decided to ask our guests a very important question.
This is the thing. Sorry to interrupt. So the thing is, where most people are watching the Kardashians, you guys are watching this show.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that's,
and it's extremely bad. The moderator is some guy who doesn't know anything about streetwear and asks these little kids about their fake Supreme t-shirts and
Kodaks
and hoodies and whatever.
I think I'll go watch this.
He's almost every time like, "Well, that's a pretty nice fit. Pretty expensive. I like it."
Oh my God.
But everything is fake.
And most of the times, the guys got some bags with them. And like, "Oh, and by the way, in my bags there is a Supreme North Face jacket as well. Yeah, so please add like 800 euros to my outfit. And yeah, this is my watch and whatever."
Oh my God.
But Xavi is always asking our guests this question. So Xavi, please go on.
Kish, how much is your outfit?
Oh, this one here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Supreme, I got this Supreme box logo, little mini box logo. I prefer the mini box logo. It's a little bit more subtle. I got this about, I think it's new when the shop opened, the London store opened. So however long ago that was. So this is probably like 8 years old or whatever 9 years old.
2013 opens the online, the European online shop. So I think it's the same year.
Let's say that. Or say 2012. Either way, I think it's 7 or 8 years old. The hat I've had for ages. I just pulled these out for ages. The ACG trousers, my boys from Footshop blessed me with them, which you can't see in shop, but you know, that's what it is. So I don't actually know. I think the top I get, because I'm lucky to get discounted Supreme. I think my outfit's probably like £100. But my whole thing is, right? My whole thing is, if I can buy something that's expensive, but it's in the sale, that is a better thing to brag about. Like today, right? So today,
sale is life.
I copped this engineered garments jacket, right, from the Bureau in Belfast. It was half price. So instead of being like £900, it was £450. Now, £450 for a jacket alone is expensive, right? But, you know, when you put it into the context, I got it for half price. That is the deal. And it's all about, I feel, it's not how much you're wearing, it's what you're wearing and how you're wearing it is the more important thing.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? Definitely. You know?
It's almost like you made £450 by buying a new jacket.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like some people just stunt and go, I got the Selfridges bag, or I got the Kith bag, or I got the DSM bag and the Supreme bag, etc., etc. Do you know what I mean? There's that thing going on. I get it. But for me, you know, if you're wise, you know, it's not about being, I would say, obtuse with your wealth, you know, showing a degree of vulgarity towards it. You should have some respect for it. And I feel that I would respect you more is if you was honest. And if you bought something and you got it at a bargain, do you know what I mean? And you look, definitely. And you look what, and you, and your look is equal to how much the money look is, or even better. Do you know what I mean? That's where I'm going with that, you know, totally. And with the whole sustainability thing and the whole ethical thing, I think it's good to employ older pieces into your wardrobe and keep them in rotation with newer pieces. You see, so I got the new ACG. But then I got the old Supreme. Do you know what I mean? I don't need a new Supreme. You know, I don't need the new color. I got about how many, you know, if you got, you know, it's, you got. But I know what it is.
And you're not one of those guys who resells all of his Supreme stuff each season to buy the new stuff.
Yeah, no. I don't do that.
That's not how we play.
Nah, that's not how we play at all. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you got to be very considered in your approach to this whole thing. Well, I mean, actually, let me rephrase that. You can do what you want, but I believe that, you know, you should be considered in the way that you do things. You know, you're free to do whatever you want, but, you know, I'm just thinking, talking about how much your outfit's worth is like, nah, that's not interesting. What's interesting is, what is your outfit? Where did you get it? What's the stories attached to it? That kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Who are you chatting to? Exactly, what was you listening to? What were you eating? You know, those kind of things. Those are more interesting.
Because I was expecting an answer like this, I put some thought into my outfit today as well, even though I'm just chilling at home.
I didn't.
You wearing Maharishi?
I'm wearing Maharishi, yeah.
I love that brand. That's my dude Hardy's brand.
I know, and that's how we guys met. And of course, it's a sweater I bought on sale.
There you go. That's what's up.
But my favorite piece today is something, you know, I was thinking about talking to you the whole day, and I was thinking about all the times I visited London, because up until I started a real job 4 years ago, I went to London every year. Every year when I needed some time to calm down, I went to London to shop, to eat, to meet some people. And in 2008, I bought one of my most favorite sneakers of all time. And I bought it in London, and I bought it on sale. Ooh. And I bought it one size too small. That's why I actually never wore it, but it's my Nike Air Rivadarci.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I always wanted those because my brother had some similar ones when I was a kid, but I saw them in some magazines and I could not get them in Germany. And when I went to London in 2008, I got them for like £30.
Yeah. No one appreciated them. I call those the Grand Pooh Bars, because Grand Pooh Bar wore that shoe in the 90s when he was rapping on YoMTV Raps. And I think a few press shots as well, he was wearing them as well, because that was the kind of flex back then. You wore Polo or Hilfiger and Guess and ACG or Timberlands and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of funny how things are flipped around, actually, because it's a similar sort of status for me anyway, personally. I never left it, but, you know, just in terms of how everyone else is looking at stuff. Do you know what I mean? I'm wearing ACG trousers. I mean, I've always worn a bit of outdoor, you know, sort of, you know, apparel. I love my North Face, etc., and all that kind of stuff, my Hagloffs and all that kind of thing. So it's like, yeah, for me, it's never left, but it's just coming back into fashion again. Do you know what I mean? Within the street and all that kind of stuff. And I'm finding, okay, interesting. Well, okay, good. Okay. We'll see how it is. But yeah, it's funny that you pulled that shoe out, because I'm so gutted. It's a size too small. I will tell you this though, that shoe will eventually disintegrate. Because the midsole's made out of PU. It's not a Phylon midsole, which is kind of gutting, because other models with the Huarache sock, such as the original Huarache or the Air Trainer Huarache, etc., have a Phylon midsole, and they stay wearable. But the Rivadarci, as I found out painfully, right, when it happened to me, yeah, and it's the same with Moabs as well. They're going to go.
Yeah, it's always a pity. When I moved to Berlin a couple of months ago, I packed all my stuff together and everything was cracking. All the Air 180s, my Jordans, everything. But it's funny that you just mentioned Grand Puma, because in my opinion, my good friend Zebi, he's like the German Grand Puma, because he's basically based all of his wardrobe on everything that Grand Puma wears.
And when we talk about
like outfit inspiration,
coincidental,
or like is there like a cool photo we can post on our blog or something, that he always comes up with Grand Puma. So he's really a big polo guy.
Yeah, that's it. That's what's up. You know what I mean, you know,
one
that's the style set right there
of all time, in my opinion.
He's an incredible rapper. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, his work with Brand Nubian as well, it's absolutely phenomenal. Still classic stuff, classic material. I can't even believe that the Brand Nubian debut album, One For All, is actually, you know, 31 years old this year. 31 years old this year is crazy. I was a young kid when it came out. It's like, yo, mad young. But yeah, still resonates with me. The Pete Rock remix of Slow Down and all that kind of stuff. Just like, boom. And then you go into Grand Pooh Bars, you know, oh, man, wow. I like it, and all those tracks. I mean, Real to Real was a fantastic album. 2000 was a fantastic album. You had two fantastic albums. And the other Brand Nubian dudes as well, Sadat X Wild Card Boys, was so dope. So dope. You know what I mean? And the two albums, you know, there's at least two albums that I rated by Brand Nubian that didn't feature Grand Pooh Bar. But, you know, anyway, it's just, yeah, crazy, crazy period. Do you know what I mean?
So now with us already mentioning music and how much music influenced us, and you being the DJ and the host of the All City Show on Soul Radio, which is a show that everybody should listen to. I think it's on every Tuesday. Yeah.
The old shows are on Mixcloud as well. So if you go on Mixcloud.com and tap in the All City Show, you got like the past 7 years of the show. So all the guests
that
we had on.
The Instagram story, so everybody will have a chance to hear it.
Oh, appreciate it.
But my first question for you is, what came first, music or fashion for you?
Music. Music came first, then the fashion. Because I heard the music, and then the music sort of like, you know, the whole look and everything, the opinion formed from that, and football as well, actually, to be fair. So music and football are the channels, you know, that focus my passion for fashion. You know, the football aspect, you're having a kick about in the street, you're wearing sneakers, you're wearing trainers, as we call them here. And if you're in a hip hop, yeah. And if you're in a hip hop and you're breaking and you're going to the club and all that kind of stuff, you're wearing trainers, sneakers on your feet. So that's what it, that's boom. That's where it is. It's all about that. And to be honest, if you asked me what's got to go, the style or the music, the style will go. Cause the thing is, the world will not be worth living if there was no music. You know, if there's no music playing, it'd just be a deadly, it'd be a, you know, a silent world. And I don't want to live in a silent world. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I can make do with some clothes here and there, that whatever, but you've got to be able to hear the music. It's got to be music 100%.
When did you start listening to music with like the culture behind it? And
Since day one. Because the thing is, it's like,
so you just came out of the womb and then you started listening to music?
Yo, totally. I mean, my parents would play music, you know, in the car. I think a lot of kids, you know, back in the day, and maybe still now, were exposed to their first music, listening into the car, subconsciously absorbing it. And then when they get gain awareness, hearing what their parents are playing in the car, be it a tape, or because that's how far back we go with me, be it a tape, yeah, in the deck, or a CD, or now streaming, you know, via, you know, DAB or whatever, or Spotify or whatever, you know, device you're using in the vehicle, that would be how you get introduced. And the thing is, it's just like being exposed to sounds and just going, oh, I like that. Oh, I'm into that. Do you know what I mean? I, you know, when you first heard, like, you know, Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel, it was just like, this is, what is this? And then you hear, you know, all the other stuff, and then you start exploring the culture and going, what's behind it? And then you see how everyone's dressing and how everyone's, what's the look? And you're like, okay, cool, I like that. So it's like, boom. Do you know what I mean? And then you start, you know, trying to do your research and, you know, and then you formulate your own style, your own opinion off that embryonic period. You know, it's a very nascent period. And then you start to go, oh, I like that and I like that. Then you start putting things into the mix, which, you know, are sort of like a twist on your all your influences. You know, so obviously I'm into football, so the whole casual look would collide and would collide with hip hop and two-tone and reggae. And you just get the whole different sort of flex. And that's why when it comes to the UK style, it's been so, so influential around the world. So you get the New York, and you flip what's going on in New York, and you sprinkle a little bit what's going on in here, and then you get everything else, and that's what people look up to. Do you know what I mean? From, you know, I mean, I was chatting to Michael Koppelman the other day, and what did he say? He goes, the Americans reappropriated stuff on the street and flipped it up, right? The British took that.
A lot of people listening to us don't know who Michael Koppelman is. So could you?
I'll go into that. I'll go into that. And then the UK flipped stuff and gave it relevance, and then the Japanese took that and did everything from both of us to the next level. But Michael Koppelman, he is the founder of Gimme Five, which is the distributor of Stussy in this country. He opened up back in the day. He opened up Hideout, which is an incredible boutique, dedicated to streetwear from mainly a Japanese perspective. First stock in, brands like Let It Ride, Good Enough, Bathing Ape, Neighborhood, etc., Visvim. And obviously, and patterned that up with other brands such as Supreme. I don't know if it sold Stussy. I can't remember. I don't think it sold Stussy because he opened up the Stussy store in Covent Garden with Simon Porter from Fly Clothing. And he also opened up Foot Patrol with Simon Porter as well. So basically, Michael Kopman has been very influential for many, many years over here. Because I think he got the deal. I think he created Gimme Five in around 1989, 1990. And then he's been the Stussy distributor over here ever since. Obviously distributing other brands, currently now doing Braindead, looking after the operations of OVO, formerly looking, supervising the operations for Stussy UK and Supreme, and so on and so forth. He's very, very highly respected. Within the industry, and he continues to be, a part of it, and he continues to be passionate about this. He's always searching out for new brands and trying to work with stuff. That's why Gimme Five's got Braindead, for example. That's why, he does Sweet Coke. That's why it does Jason Marks. You know what I mean? And so on and so forth. And he's a guy that I highly respect because I met him years ago. I met him and Fraser Cook. When they used to come into the record store that I used to work at and buy records. And then the guys were like, oh, yeah, that's the guy who does Stussy and blah, blah, blah. I was like, what? Nah, seriously? It was like so funny. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, super chill, super mild-mannered. And, So, yeah, got a lot of respect for Michael. But, yeah, it's like that, that's how it is, really, at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? But one thing that I do think... people don't generally sort of gravitate towards. It's a two-way thing. It's like, I always give props to the people that came before me, because if the people that came before me didn't, have an influence on my being, then I wouldn't be here now. So, and it's a mutual thing. Do you know what I mean? But it's, that's what it comes down to. But music... and the fabric and the way it sort of permeates through everything. This is why Supreme does all the collaborations it does with music artists and primarily hip-hop artists, because that's the stuff the kids in the store listen to. That's why they do that stuff. And it's so funny because when we were having that conversation on Clubhouse, there's a couple of music collaborations I had forgot that Supreme had done. And I was like, yeah, I was suggesting them like, yeah, these should be ones that they should do. And there's like so many of them, it's been hard to keep up with what they do. But everything that they do, it's not about the sales. It's about drawing awareness. Ever since they did the stuff with Miles Davis and Public Enemy way back in the day, right? And then, doing the stuff with like Raekwon, the classic Raekwon t-shirt and the Dipset t-shirt and so on and so forth. All these things, that's what the peeps is listening to in the store or in the office. And that's what they gravitate towards. It's not like, oh, we're just going to put someone famous on a t-shirt. No, it's like we respect and love this artist. And if our customer doesn't understand them or know who they are, we're going to put it out there so they do, and they do listen. Because when they do that thing where, I think, is it Complex? They go up and down the queue, and they do the photo, and they with the photo teasers. Like, oh, yeah, do you know who Shane McGowan is? Do you know who the Pogues are? Blah, blah, blah. Do you know, and all this. And the guys are going, no. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter that they don't know at that point, because we would hope that they would actually go back and then try to learn who they are and listen to them. And then understand them and go, oh, okay, cool. That's why they did it. They might not know who KRS-One is, but the thing is, KRS-One, BDP, knowledge reigns supreme over nearly everyone, and hopefully they'll get the reference. You know what I mean? That's what we hope,
In case of the Shane McGowan shirt, which is today one of my favorite Supreme shirts, I can totally relate to that because I'm being totally honest, I never listened to the Pogues. I did not know who Shane McGowan was. I heard of the Pogues before, but when this season, I think it was 2013, was announced, I was like, okay, there's somebody on a Supreme shirt. So he might have some cultural significance. Who is him? And I remember I was at a supermarket and I was browsing through my phone and was like, okay, when I'm back in my car, we'll listen to some music from him. And then I listened to Fairy Tale of New York for the first time in 2013. And I started crying in the parking lot. And since then, every time I hear it, I'm crying. Every Christmas when I visit my parents, I'm like, okay, there's this song that I have to play. And that's basically what Supreme is for me. They're always steady teaching me. Even though I'm 33 now and I know a lot of stuff, of course I know all the rappers because I grew up with them, but they still manage to bring some stuff up that's not in my world, but that's something that fits perfectly into this world, and that's what I love about
that. That really is brilliant. We got to give a shout to Kirsty MacColl, rest in peace, who sang on that song. Yeah. You know what I mean? You died tragically years ago, but yeah, fantastic voice, fantastic talent. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like having brands out there that will do more than just do what they do, you know? And that's why I respect Supreme. They continue to, you know, to continue to do that, continue to challenge, continue to educate as well as entertain, which is important, really is. Stussy have done that as well over the years, you know, their whole way that they work with certain key people. Carhartt did it back in the day. Carhartt championed a lot of rappers and beat producers in the late 90s and early 2000s. I wish they'd go back to it, but they really did a lot of stuff with that, which was absolutely fantastic. You know, I think we could have more. Noah does it because Brendan loves his 80s music, his 80s British new wave music. And he's, you know, that's why he did the collaboration with The Cure and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? He's so passionate. But Brendan, he's ex-Supreme. You know, he comes from Supreme and he's done some of the greatest stuff that they ever put out. And it was a brainchild of him. So, you know, you got those. But then there's a lot of other brands who just like, you know, just do it whimsically, you know, like a token, which is a shame. It really is. If they did it with a deeper level of integrity and consideration, I think people would appreciate them more rather than just doing it because they think they have to do it and not knowing why they do it, you know. But, you know, at least we've got what we got. Do you know what I mean? And at least we've got people that are, you know, wishing to challenge and wishing to push things forward. Because if they didn't, who knows where we would be? We wouldn't be having this conversation, maybe, possibly, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's funny that Jim Jones of Dipset still claims that he made Supreme famous. I think there was an interview last year or in 2019 where Jim Jones said Supreme wouldn't be where it is today without the Diplomats photo tee.
Oh my gosh. No, I think he's got to really pull it back to, if anyone's going to take credit on that regard, it's the Raekwon t-shirt that came out before.
Yeah.
But I would, you know, I think we all know that Supreme was already a phenomenally well-respected and very difficult and hard to get brand, you know, back then. So, yeah, nah, Jim Jones, no, that's like you saying, like, hip-hop wouldn't have been popular if you guys hadn't come out with your tracks. You know what I mean? It's not. Nah, hip-hop already existed.
So my question to Jim Jones now is, if he made Supreme famous, why didn't he do the same thing for his brand Vampire Life that he had for, like, 1 year in, like, 2005?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you remember that. I'd completely forgotten about that. One, because it's called Vampire Life, and that's... Yeah, one, because it's called Vampire Life, and that's a terrible name for anything. Do you know what I mean? What does it mean? You know, what does it mean? It doesn't have any, you know.
It was a terrible time. It was like the iced out skull hat time when he and Joe Santana were rocking Ed Hardy and stuff like that. So it was just a ripoff of Ed Hardy.
Oh my God, never once. You see, that's the thing. You know, Jim Jones, great rapper, great entrepreneur. He's got a new album out with Harry Fraud, actually. I played it on the show last night. It was dope. But actually, no, when this goes out, no, I played it on Tuesday night. Do you know what I mean? But the thing is, you just said it. He wore Ed Hardy. He probably wore Von Dutch and all this kind of stuff. When it comes to fashion, some rappers don't have a clue. This is why I give full credit to Drake. Because Drake, right, whether you love Drake or you don't like Drake, right, he knows how to dress. And he bigs up stuff that he grew up with and he knows about it. So that's why when he was wearing the Supreme leopard print North Face jacket, he knew about it. He wasn't some stylist gave it to him. And I mean, it wasn't like, you know, oh yeah, here you go, you can have this, do you know what I mean, wear it, blah blah blah. Now he knew about it, he was already aware, he was from that generation that was aware of stuff. And that's a critical thing to outline and to put underline. But also supreme with hip hop, you know, you'd also get, you know, I remember Large Professor, I think on one of his album covers, wearing a Supreme Box logo camp cap. And I'm like, going, that's one of my favorite hip hop producers of all time. And he knows about Supreme. And it was just
one
in there.
The guy from Nonfiction was.
And Nonfiction, I was just about to say it. Yeah, Nonfiction. And that too. And that's because the thing is, the whole of New York was kind of connected a little bit more, especially on the underground back then.
I think if you watch the Rockstars video by Nonfiction, I think even Aaron Bondarov is in it.
Yeah, he probably is. People are wearing it. Yeah, yeah, because it's that whole, like, where Fat Beats was located and where Supreme was located. It was all around each other, and I do believe that friends of each other, you know, were involved with each other, and I know that, for example, there were some people who worked at Fat Beats. Who probably lived with people who worked at Supreme, or I don't know. But anyway, it was the whole thing was a fabric. And the thing is, a lot of people at Supreme listened to what Fat Beats put out, and Nonfiction came out on Fat Beats. So, you know, it was the whole, you know, it was the whole thing. It was the whole mix. It was a whole melting pot. It was a whole melting pot of culture. It's like, you know, when I was working in the record stores in Soho, we were wearing Supreme, you know, and we were up on the early on it. And, you know, and but the rest of, there's so many people in hip hop that didn't know about it. They'd be more focused on their blinged out stuff, you know, or wearing Machino or Ivisu or Avrex and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Or primarily focusing on hip hop sort of brands, you know, like Fat Farm, Mecca, South Pole, FUBU and all that kind of stuff. Whereas I messed with Fat Farm, that's for sure. You know, I would wear Stussy and I'd wear Supreme and I'd wear whatever was, you know, kind of Silas, you know, back then. Do you know what I mean? It would be Maharishi, like that would be the kind of stuff. Polo, obviously. But that kind of stuff is where I would be gravitating towards predominantly. But
it's pretty interesting that Palace now collaborated with Ivisu and Polo and Machino and basically every brand you just named.
Yeah, I mean, Palace... comes from the DNA, you could argue a little bit of, from Silas, because Gareth Skewis worked at Silas, and then, you know, he's half part of Palace with Lev, and I guess you can attribute that though to Lev, because Lev loves Polo. Lev only wears Polo, actually. Lev doesn't even wear his own stuff, I don't think. And I think it comes through that because the palace is named after his apartment, where all the skaters used to hang out. I think it was in Waterloo at the time. It was called the Palace. You know, I weren't skating back. You know, I'd given up skating for a lot, you know, for years. So, you know, it was a reference to that. And I think Lev started off Palace, and then Gareth came into the mix. And really helped bolster the brand, and you know, together they've taken the brand to where it is now. But I mean, when it comes to music references that Palace do, they're genuine, because I remember going to jams where Lev would be DJing and Stuart Hammond, a friend of theirs, was DJing as well, and they'd be throwing down some crazy stuff and some dope stuff. And that's why I think they call themselves PWBC, which is the Palace Boys, the Palace Wayward Boys Choir or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but anyway. But basically it was the sound, they were DJ and everything. So yeah, I mean, you know, their references come from that thing, but also Lev was into garage, into all that kind of side of stuff as well, and into grime. So that's where the whole Machino Ivisu thing goes even more deeper into that. So that's a genuine thing, but I never messed with those brands. I was with where I was. I mean, I never wore Avrex. I got friends who did. Hey, it's all good. Do you know what I mean? You know, they look good in it. You know, I didn't want to wear it. I would look better in something else. Do you know what I mean? So that's all it came down to. Plus, I want to wear stuff that no one else is rocking. I've always been that. I want to wear something. And as soon as I see somebody else rocking the same thing, I'm like, nah, it's dead. Done. I want to move on to the next thing. It's probably why I got a huge pile of clothes in my bedroom. But yeah, but I just want to flex something different.
Did you see the Palace Stella Artois collaboration? last
week? Yeah, I've seen the Palace Stella Artois collaboration. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's cool. I mean, you know, I mean, skaters just love drinking beer, just, you know, drinking hard and everything else that comes with it. But, I mean, yeah, it's an interesting thing. But yeah, you got to think back. Man. You got to think back, though, because Supreme did, you know, Supreme did, what do you call it, the collaboration with Budweiser years ago.
Yeah.
So it's not the first. Not the first. Yeah, but just because they're not the first doesn't mean they shouldn't do it, by the way. I'm not saying like that. Sports Direct, was the Sports Banger one?
It's just a Sports Direct mug. I ordered some Sports Banger stuff and they gave it to me for free. Because I love Sports Banger.
That's my boy Johnny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've known him years. Yeah, he's a man. We've had some fun over the years together.
And I really think that Sports Banger, the Sports Banger Schlesinger stuff,
yeah,
is the best collaboration, in my opinion, of all time. Because this guy, maybe not design wise, but this guy who is huge, who has a huge following, who is an awesome, I never met him, but I think he's all an awesome
guy. He's a fun guy.
But he decided to do a collaboration with Schlesinger, which is like, in Germany, they sell it as a super.
Pretty much. That was the whole thing. It was basically.
They have it at,
I mean, that was the thing. From what I get, it was a bit of a tongue in cheek kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was also, yo, I'm not from money. And I grew up where I used to wear Schlesinger. I used to get the sweatbands and stuff because I used to be big into tennis, even though I couldn't play it back in the day. So I'd wear tennis. I'd wear Schlesinger, LS head and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, in Germany, we don't even have it in sports stores.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was massive in the 80s, though. Massive, massive, massive. So the thing is, it comes from that and a whole sports casual thing. It was a lot of football casuals wore Schlesinger as well. A lot of football casuals wore a lot of tennis gear, actually, because there was no such thing as traditional football apparel, really. You can't really, do you know what I mean? You know, football shirts were, you'd be surprised the history of football shirts. We take it for granted now that you can get your team. But back in the day, you couldn't buy that. In the 80s, you couldn't buy, in the early 80s, I think, is when it started. But in the 70s, yo, to get your team on the team, only the people who were on the pitch wore it. No one wore it on the terraces, so they wore their own stuff. That's where it all stems from. But you know, I just love Johnny because what he's done with Sports Banger is real tongue in cheek, and it's funny, but it's just there to appeal to, you know, it's actually, you know, doing a middle finger to all the stuff, probably the brands that we're talking about. You know what I mean? It's like all that, because the thing is, it can get a little bit elitist, you know.
Yeah.
And the street was never about elitist. It was about being elite in the street because you rocked it to the best. You know, you looked the coolest. You was the freshest.
I think that's the title for this podcast episode, Elite in the Street.
I just want to come back to this Palace Artois t-shirt and whatsoever, because I saw there's a little skate brand from London called Blokes Official who did the Artois collaboration in 2020, and there was some discussing online whether if it was stolen by Palace or if coincidental.
Was it an official collaboration?
Can you see it?
Ooh, no, I didn't see that. Was that bootleg though? Was that like they just ripped it off?
So.
Logo flip.
Pretty little brand, 11,000 followers on Instagram. So I guess it was bootleg, but.
But it's a logo flip. Do you know what I mean? And it's a pretty good one. I haven't seen that before.
I mean, a logo flip is something that
logo flip's been going on for some days. Where, you know, exactly.
Prestige coming up with a big gulp logo.
Yeah,
back then,
exactly.
And stuff like that.
Totally. You know, ever since the early 90s when they were flipping it up and all the rave gear, etc. When you know, you'd get the Kit Kat logo flipped up into something different and so on and so forth. Do you know what I mean? It's you know, it's been going on for a long while. And you know what? I think you know it is what it is. I remember when Supreme flipped up the Patagonia logo. They were the first ones to do that. I still got a couple of the pieces from that and things like that. I think PNB Nation did logo flips and so on and so forth, you know. So, yeah, Stussy did it. It's like, yeah, whatever. You know, you don't
own
it.
It's funny that you mention PNB because that's like a brand that I don't think a lot of people know about. It's an old hip-hop brand from like the 90s. It's from the 90s or 2000.
Yeah, the funny story about that is that from PNB Nation, one of the guys behind PNB Nation is a guy called West. West now works for Supreme. Well, he has done for years. West is the one who pulls a lot of the collaborations together.
Did PNB really mean please no bacon? No?
No. I
read it online and I think I read it and somebody wrote something.
Maybe it did. I can't remember. I can't remember. It was either meant that or it meant post no bills or it meant it had. I think it had numerous meanings. You know, for whatever you wanted to, you know, or could be even proud Nubian brothers. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's, you know, it's one of those ones. I can't actually remember what it referred to, but it was one of my favorite brands, but you could hardly get hold of it over here anyway. I've got a couple of pieces still, which I'll never get rid of. But yeah, for me, one of the dopest labels. I just love the logo, that hand style and the two arrows making it a circle is just fantastic.
Did you ever wear LRG?
No, I never wore LRG.
No, because Zemi and me were talking about LRG, and today we posted some old magazine ads.
They did some fantastic marketing.
They really did. And for me and for Zemi as well, I think it was a brand that we were wearing before we really started calling what we were wearing streetwear, you know? It was like going straight from hip-hop wear to streetwear, because they had this amazing ads with like Lupe Fiasco, Wale, Kanye West, Just Blaze, The Roots, and so on. And because Lupe Fiasco was wearing it, I was a big fan of him. I loved his first and the second album. And then I read an article in a magazine where they asked him, okay, what are you doing besides music? What are your interests? And he said, well, basically, I just browse through Hypebeast or go to my friends from Maharishi in London and stuff like that. And that's how I first heard about Maharishi. And I remember in 2006, 2007, something like that, I went to London with my school. And that's the first time I went to Maharishi. I was still wearing a long tee, still wearing a New Era 5950, still wearing just straight white Air Force Ones with some LRG or Echo pants. But then I went to Maharishi and it was like mind-blowing because it was something so different. I mean, the store was curated with culture to the fullest, you know, with like the porcelain penis from Clockwork Orange on display, as the Maharishi stuff, which was basically which was streetwear, what was so well done, you know, and even more expensive. They had those vending machines with bear bricks.
That was next level.
So like LRG was for us like a gateway drug to something even bigger.
Yeah, I really loved LRG because I never wanted to wear those straight hip-hop brands, but LRG also had a skate team, so I could wear it by skating.
Yeah, they even had a skate.
That's why I got into LRG and DGK and all this KO stuff. And from then on, to Stussy and Supreme.
Academics was another one as well. I think you could say about that too. But LRG, yeah, definitely. And it was funny because they were progressive in that style, in that way of marketing. It's a shame what happened to the brand. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I think they might have sold it and it's been licensed out or whatever. I don't know with half these brands, but...
Is it still produced? I mean, the founder died like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find there's probably some territory where it's got a license and they're still making it or something like that. It's like with Carl Kanai. Carl Kanai's, you know, you can't buy Carl Kanai here to my knowledge anymore, but yo, it's big in Germany.
It's huge in Germany.
And it's massive in Japan. Really, he's got stores in Japan. I met him. I went for dinner with him. No, not dinner. I went for breakfast with him, and a few of us got invited. I think we got a shout out Simon from Kickstore for organizing it. That was probably 2019. And I met Carl. He's a nice guy. Do you know what I mean? He's you know, very. He's a little bit Hollywood. Do you know what I mean? But. Yeah, he's a nice guy, but they're still doing their stuff, and you know, full credit to them. You know, they're doing their thing and whatever. It's brilliant. I think one of the craziest things that I discovered when we were hanging out is he was probably one of the, or if not the first, black fashion designer that owned his own brand, because he owns his brand. you know, and that's something to be proud of. And he came out the gate in the late 90, in the late 80s, which I didn't know. I got familiar with Carl Kanai around 92, 93, I think it was. But he was around before Cross Colors, and he was around before Triple Five Soul and all them other ones that came out around the same era.
Yeah, Triple Five Soul was awesome as well.
Triple Five Soul was awesome. Spike Lee's brand, 40 Acres and Mule, was awesome as well. I wish he'd stuck with it. He had a store as well, which I never went to.
It was a brand?
Yeah.
Okay, because always when I saw some old pictures of people wearing 48 Acres and the Mule stuff, I was thinking it was just merchandise.
No, it was a store. It was a brand.
Cindy and me, we just found this awesome picture of Eros Ramazzotti wearing some stuff.
Oh, who?
Head to toe in 40 Acres and the Mule.
Eros Ramazzotti? You know this Italian singer?
No.
Maybe he's just big in Germany.
No. I ain't got a clue about that.
I can imagine that only Germans listen to Eros Ramazzotti because they always try to be Italian and love La Dolce Vita so much. So
yeah, whenever you're a German guy and you want to open up a pizza store, I think the government sends over an Eros Ramazzotti CD for you to play.
Yeah, he's huge.
But Spike Lee did like one or two music videos for him.
Interesting.
They are good because they are in Spike Lee style, you know, with
the dolly walk when the camera is just straight.
Oh, yeah. I think he finessed that in, I think, in She's Gotta Have It. I think it was his second film. Was it his first film?
She's Gotta Have It was his first film.
School Days. Yeah, so She's Gotta Have It. I remember watching it as a kid. Maybe. So, yeah, he did that dolly walk thing there, I think. Yeah, crazy.
So I think, Sebi, when you hear that story, are you still sad that you did not get the autograph on your Jordan 4s?
Pretty much. Oh, that's such a
tell
sad
the story,
story,
please.
I bought a Paul White Cement 4s and went to Comic-Con just because, what's his name again? Eduardo something? Shame on me that I forgot it right now. The guy who played Bugging Out in Do the Right Thing was supposed to come.
Oh, Giancarlo Esposito.
He was supposed to come to the comic convention, and I wanted to let him sign the Jordan 4s, but then I got there and he unfortunately didn't make it to Germany. So
man.
So I got a Nike Air Jordan 4 that is not my size and no autograph, and I bought a stupid ticket for this convention that I didn't really enjoy.
Oh man, that's as bad as when I met Tinker Hatfield and I got him to sign the card that came in the Jordan with the Jordans and not the actual Jordans. So yeah,
but I think going to Comic-Con is always like a good idea to boost the resale value of your shoes, because I bought a ticket for like €40 for Comic-Con and got a pair of Nike Vandals to get them signed by the guy who played Kyle Reese in Terminator 1.
Oh, and I even paid like Michael Bain is his name.
Yeah, Michael Bain. I paid like €60 for the autograph, €40 for entrance, and guy got the shoes. And I was the whole day, I was so hyped, and I was like, oh, he will smile at me when he sees those shoes and we will become friends and everything will be so great. And I gave him the shoes and he was like, yeah, I get those a lot.
Ah, shit. Well, I don't know how he gets those a lot because there's not many pairs of them around. The one to get, though, would be the orange ones and get them signed by Doc. But I think Christopher Lloyd passed away, actually. I think Doc Brown passed away. So, but yeah.
Did he?
I think so. I think Christopher Lloyd passed away. I thought
he still lives. I just saw a picture of him and Michael J. Fox from last year, I think.
Oh, no, let's have a look.
Yeah, I think they were on like Jimmy Kimmel last year or something like that. Or 2 years ago.
He's still around.
I hope he's still alive.
Didn't he do a Super Bowl commercial sometime?
He's 82. He's still around. Yeah, my bad.
So you still got a chance
to get the orange Vandal sign. Oh, what are those? Oh, the 40 Acres and Mule Jordan 3s.
During our Clubhouse talk, we were talking about rappers who deserve a Supreme collaboration but don't have one. Maybe we should talk about this a little longer for everybody who wasn't.
Yeah, that's right. We did. And there have been some great ones.
Still in my opinion, Supreme NTM from France deserves a...
There's two... No one out of France knows who NTM is. No one out of... That's what it comes down to. It comes down to that. Come on, guys. They're not doing stuff just out of generosity. There's so many groups. They should do how many UK hip-hop groups that came out before NTM and put them on a T-shirt. No one knows who they are. It's got to be something that resonates in the culture, and it's a far deeper thing. For me, I would love to see Outkast on a T. I really would. That'd be good, because Outkast is phenomenally amazing. It'd be good to see Kendrick on a T, but Kendrick probably won't do it because Kendrick doesn't care about fashion, really. I presume they go, we're going to give the money to charity or something, or a foundation, you know, in Inglewood or whatever. I don't know, something. Maybe he would do it like that. But generally, he's not a fashion-orientated dude, which is quite funny considering he did the Nikes, right? And he's done Reeboks as well, am I correct? But that's just the money thing. But
yeah, I mean, but where he grew up wearing Nike Cortez is nothing that has to do with fashion. It has just to do with...
It's an L.A. shoe, the Cortez. That's right. It's all the cholos, you know, all the gangbangers and that what love wearing that shoe. So, yeah, that's a good point, actually. But the Reebok one I didn't quite get, but anyway, whatever. Yeah, it's fascinating to think about all the rappers that haven't been on... Rakim has been on a Huff T-shirt. But it wasn't an official thing. I don't know if... Has Rakim been officially on anything? He's also been on a Stussy thing as part of the UMTV Raps thing with Eric B.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Rakim has actually officially done a photo tee. And Supreme should do it. Supreme should do it, man. That's a G.O.D. right there. Supreme should... Yo, Big Daddy Kane is another one. I don't think there's actually officially been on a shirt as him. I think he was on the UMTV Raps as well, but... Not Big Daddy Kane. But, you know, we're talking about but the thing is, I remember on Clubhouse, it was all about all the older rappers because they've got a career and they've done this and that. And that's why they deserve to be on things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we were talking about, like, maybe Ice Cube.
Yeah, I think Cube's been on one. But, yeah, again, that'd be cool. I mean, it'd be good to get a Gangstar collaboration. You know, a Gangstar one, you know, for Guru Rest in Peace and DJ Premier. I think that would be a fantastic one. I really do. I don't know why there hasn't been that one. Even when they were alive, I don't know why that didn't happen, actually, to be honest. Yeah, when Guru was alive, that should have been something that happened. Who else would I want to see? Busta Rhymes. Busta Rhymes hasn't been on anything. So Busta Rhymes would be a good one, I feel.
That's a Eric B. and Rakim bootleg tee by Supreme from the late 90s, I think.
Yeah, but it's a drawing of them. It's the follow the leader. It's just a drawing. Yeah, it's just a sketch. That doesn't count. Now, I'm talking official collab. I'm talking about official, you know, this is the realness right here. LL Cool J would be another one. Guy's the legend. He still raps now and spits hard. I think he'd be fantastic, you know. I can't believe that hasn't happened, actually. I mean, when you think about it, LL was the first rapper to wear Air Jordan 1s. On the back cover of Radio, he's wearing the bred Jordan 1s. And he's got the Kangol on, right? And it was just like, yo. And he's the first one. He's the first rapper to wear Jordans, actually, when you think about it. Skinny Boys wore the Jordan 2s. Three Times Dope wore the Jordan 3s. LL was the first rapper to wear Jordans. Going to put it out there like that. Eazy-E wore Jordan 3s, he wore the tracksuit. But, and Ice-T wore the Jordan 4s.
Yeah,
but,
as well.
Right, when you're looking at things, LL wore Jordan 1s. No one was wearing Jordans before LL. Have a look. You see, you think I'm wrong? I'll take you on that. But it's mad. It's mad. And the only reason I think of it like that now is because I was chatting with Gianluca from Black Box Store. I was like, yo, I broke it down to him because I'm going to do something with him next week. And I'm like, yo, LL was the first one to wear Jordans. I didn't even think about it. I know LL was wearing Jordans. It's like, you know, I've got the record. I got it when it come out and boom. But it didn't actually click that when you think about it, LL is the first guy to wear Air Jordans in hip hop. And when you think about it like that, you go, oh my God. Anyway, LL needs to be on a T-shirt. Absolutely. Absolutely. I watch NCIS LA just to watch that guy. Do you know what I mean? And he executive produces it, and he puts a lot of social commentary and issues in that series as well, which is fantastic.
You told us that you bought the HNISC t-shirt on the first Supreme Draft.
Yeah.
Right before you came into the talk, we talked about how boring this t-shirt was because they just took his album cover, like,
didn't put any effort in it. Yeah, he's had his own proper, a proper-ish photo tee, which I still want. I still can't get it. I need to find out. If you got one in size large or XL, let me know. Why hasn't there been a Tribe Called Quest t-shirt where they could donate, you know, money to Fife's family? I'm just like, seriously, there's a lot of glaring errors, do you know what I mean, from that golden era that still need to be rectified. Why isn't there a Brand Nubian t-shirt? You know, I'm just like, seriously, when everyone's like really quick to, you know, do this, that and that, you know, we've had NAS.
ALD is doing something with Premiere. Is it like a real collaboration or was it just a video they did together?
That was really dope. And I liked how they put NAS into the Clarks collaboration campaign as well. And it's the whole Queens thing, you know, with the NAS thing. Do you know what I mean? Premiere, you know, they just love hip hop. I mean, Premiere's from Houston originally, so you know what I mean? But that whole way that they flipped up above the clouds on that was fantastic. It was like, wow, they should actually release it. And it was so well done. I'm thinking, why didn't Supreme do something like that first? That's how well that's been done. ALD is a brand. I respect it. It's not something I would wear, but I respect it. And out of the new lot of brands, the fact that Teddy Santis is doing stuff with due reverence like that, I'm about that definitely. Because there's some new brands that just like are really toy. And I really, really like doing stuff and I'd really beg. And I'm like, nah, it's not cool. But they're doing it with reverence, which is brilliant.
Their styling is great.
Excuse me?
Their styling is great.
Yeah.
Every outfit you see on their ads is perfect like this.
Yeah, I mean, they take a lot of cues from Ralph. They take a lot of, you know, if you look at a polo ad and how well that's styled, etc., and you compare it to the ALD one, there's a similar sort of DNA there.
Talking about polo and especially vintage polo, London is, for me as a guy who grew up with the internet, we have two groups. On one side we have the basement, fully box logo drip and stuff like that, and on the other side we have wavy garms, which is more for the vintage aficionados. As we talked a lot about Supreme today, but how's the vintage community in London? How would you describe it?
I mean, it's there. Duke's Cupboard. I want to shout out Duke's Cupboard. I want to also shout out What Goes Around Comes Around, which is actually...
Where is Duke's Cupboard? Is it in...
Duke's Cupboard's in Soho. Okay. It's got its own store now. Good guys. I think it's their second one. It's actually... My record shop scenario is on the corner of that Ingestra place. But I think Duke's is on the street. And in just a place is the alleyway where Pata is on and my boy Robbie Walters is now in his gallery and studio is in the space which used to be the record store I worked at and managed. But which is quite funny. Duke's Cupboard. What goes around comes around though. Justin and Jonathan there, they've been around since the 90s and it's the best vintage store, one of the best vintage stores you can get. A lot of the fashion sort of magazines and stylists, etc., go there for inspiration and pull stuff out. And they're ahead of trends as well. But that's in Camden Market. And, yeah, absolute legendary. They used to get loads of Supreme and Bape and all that kind of stuff back in the day. They had all the sneakers and la, la, la. They've got like loads of vintage North Face before North Face was a thing and got a lot of polo before that and so on and so forth. Do you know what I mean? Great guys. And then you got other spots such as what's the one in Brick Lane? I think
Brick Lane Market.
Yeah, Brick Lane. There's a store. I'm trying to figure. Oh man, hold on. I'll tell you what it is. I've got to look it up on them. Oh, Atika, the London vintage store, which is off Brick Lane. So Atika is a dope spot as well. Then there's a lot of ones around. There's a lot of secondhand and Rocket as well. There's a lot of them around Portobello and around Brick Lane. You know, so you go from west to east. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting. You know, the vintage market is massive here, you know. More so, it was more orientated towards women's fashion. And you've got the fashion exchanges, etc. In Notting Hill, where you get, you know, loads of, you know, designer clothes being dumped there and clothing. But it was more to the women. But now, for the men's side of things, it's all getting bigger and bigger and bigger and better and better and better, which is great. So then you've got Wavy Garms, as you say, in South as well, who get a lot of who get a lot of stuff as well. So there's a lot, and there's a lot of people on Depop, and there's a lot of people, you know, on eBay and Grailed, you know, now, who are doing that kind of thing as well. So there's a lot of, it's kind of, it's good. And from an ethical point of view, it's brilliant, because, you know, the clothes have been recycled and they're not going into landfills, and they're not being, you know, or destroyed, or, you know what I mean? So it's good. It's good that that happens, because they can, you know, get a new cycle of life. You know what I mean? Because a lot of, because people get bored with stuff. Do you know what I mean? And there's stuff that I won't necessarily wear anymore, but I've got memories attached to it. And, you know, I want to keep it for posterity. Do you know what I mean? And because of the significance within my history and maybe within, you know, the history of fashion itself. But there's other items you could probably let go. Do you know what I mean? Another, you could find another home. So it's balanced. But, you know, and then there's also the people that you can donate the clothes to who don't have clothes.
I mean, with us talking about Wavy Garms for me represents like what I always saw as a true UK style, you know, like wearing some Burberry stuff with like a tracksuit when it was not trending overseas, when it was not common that people were wearing brands like Burberry over here. So at the end of the day, is there still a UK style in how the youth dresses, or did it change?
It's always evolving. It's always changing. But the thing is, the way UK flips stuff up is ahead of pretty much a lot of other places. You know what I mean? It's still the one of the cradles of progression when it comes to fashion. That's why Central St. Mines is here. You know, that's why the London College of Fashion is here. That's why some of the biggest stylists in the world come from here. You know. Yeah, it's always going to be that way. When you got a city such as London, which is super multicultural and so diverse, and it's a transit point between so many different, you know, parts of the world, and the fact that a lot of the new music has been developed in this country as well. You know, you got to think about drum and bass comes from here. You got to think grime, UK garage, dubstep all comes from the UK, and you know, and all the offshoots, etc. Drill. So, you know, drill in Chicago, but drill as we know it, with the sort of sound it is, it's a London thing, which has evolved from grime. So, but it's all hip hop. It's all aspects of hip hop, if you ask me. But the thing is, the fashion, you know, is woven through. It threads through that. So if you come here and you see how people are throwing it down and stuff and their looks, etc., you know, you're not going to find that generally elsewhere. You know,
I remember that you were involved in as well in organizing events, sneaker events, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that the come up of events like Crepe City or Sneakerness all over Europe, did that change how the youth dresses in the UK as well?
Starting
out, it was all about sneakers with those events. But I mean, there was always like a table with some Supreme stuff. And nowadays, if you go to an event like this, it's mostly about fashion in general and about certain brands, not about like the style in general.
Only about certain brands. It's only about hype brands, yeah. And it's only about hype shoes at the moment. You know, it's so refreshing when I go to one of those events and I see a seller who's got some vintage stuff. Be it sneakers or be it the clothing. And I'm like, wow. I mean, Mivan, who was doing it at Sneakerness, she had some phenomenal stuff. And it was just like, wow, had she curated and found and said, you know, and it was just like brilliant. Do you know what I mean? When she was doing that stuff. I hope she still is. You know, I was like, dope. You know, when I met the Sneakers OG guys and the Beard guys and all the other guys who got some great vintage selections as well at Dope Shape, I think I met at Sneakerness. Phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, and it's fantastic to see, you know, something that's exciting, You know, I can go there, I can see a pair of Off-White whatevers, you know what I mean, and a million different stalls. Okay, that's not exciting. What is exciting is finding some piece of slither of history and looking at that and go, wow, I can't believe you got those.
Have you ever been to a sneaker event in Scandinavia?
No, I haven't. There was another one that I wanted to go to for many years, this one called Kicks in the Hall. But I never got the invite. You know, I would have gone to that. But yeah, if you know the organizers of that, you let me know, right?
I remember taking a look at the guest list and your name was always on it.
I needed someone to fly me up. Like I didn't have any money.
No, but seriously, Scandinavia is so awesome. A friend of mine, Pelle, he's organizing the sneaker banquet. And I've been, it's in Copenhagen, I've been there and a couple of times. And I've been to Göteborg and to Stockholm. And what they are selling over there, it's so crazy. And the prices, I bought Visvims for 40 euros and stuff like that. And yeah.
Oh my gosh. Are they still doing it?
Not right now, but I think they will continue.
Okay. Let me know about that because I want to check them out for sure. I want to go to Copenhagen. I love Denmark. I want to go. I've never been. My homie DJ Noise is from there, so I'd love to go see him. I've been to Warsaw. I think that's fantastic, beautiful city, lovely people. You know, Warsaw sneaker store is a great place.
Yeah, those guys are awesome.
Ananas, Arek Saji, you know, Bartos, who runs Warsaw sneaker store is a great guy. Really honest and, you know, about the culture, because they know that they didn't have it back then and they just love what happened and they just love it. And it's done with such due reverence. I think it's brilliant. My homies at Footshop, what they're doing, I want to go to Prague. I've never been to Prague. And, you know, what Peter, you know, Lucas and everyone there, I just got great love for those guys. Do you know what I mean? You know, really have. I mean, it's interesting, really. You know, to see how what I grew up with has just permeated across the world. Do you know what I mean? It's fantastic. It really is. You know, and how many different takes on things you have. And it's brilliant. You know what I mean? It's, you know, all the way to Australia. I mean, Woody from Sneaker Freaker rang me this morning, actually, to chat to me about something. But it's, you know, it's been in Melbourne. You know, he was a student over here, you know, in the late 90s. And, and he took that back, and that's why he started the magazine, because he wanted to get free shoes. Pioneering. And to be honest, out of all the publications, and no disrespect to, like, say, Holger at Sneakers Mag and all the others that have done such a fantastic job, nothing has come close to Sneaker Freaker magazine for how in-depth it goes with the knowledge. And you know what? It's absolutely fantastic when you see what they've done. And I just hope that we get more of it, really, at the end of the day, because there's so many stories still to tell. And so many things that, you know, we need to know about and to remind the next generation of as well. Do you know what I mean?
So, talking about shoes, how do you feel about this crazy rebirth of the Nike Dunk hype?
The Dunk's a great shoe.
Yeah, it was always my favorite, but...
Brilliant shoe.
I think it's funny how nobody was really interested in them for, like, almost 10 years, and then all of a sudden, every release is always sold out immediately, and every older pair is fetching thousands of euros.
I'm so gutted about that, because I let some go back in the day, do you know what I mean? Because I needed cash and I got hardly anything for them, and now they're going for dumb money. I still got some that, you know, in the back. But we used to wear that stuff. I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day, even up until, like, you know, it's only in recent years, I'd say that, you know, if I know something's going to be worth money, I'm not going to wear it. Gonna say it, because the thing is, you know, I ain't a millionaire, so if I was, I wouldn't care. But, you know, I buy with the intent to wear it, but sometimes after you've got it, you know, you know it's going to be worth money. It's crazy, because the thing is, if whenever I have a kid, I want to put them through school, how am I going to fund it? Do you know what I mean? It's, you know, this is an investment now. But I still rock Fly Kicks, don't get me wrong. No one's stopping me from rocking Fly Kicks. There's just so many different styles. I don't have to rock them. And there's only so many days in the week. And there's only so many months in the year. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, and with the amount of shoes that are coming out, there's no way you can wear all of them. No way. I mean, with the dunks, for example, which is a great example, how many dunks are coming out a week? Do you know what I mean? How many are coming out in a month? You got the women's colours, and you got the dudes, and then you got the SBs.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's crazy. It really is. It's a mad one. It really is a mad one.
But I never see people outside really wear their dunks. They are always selling for tons of money, but nobody seems to really like them because nobody really wears them.
Well, no one's wearing them because they're worth money, in inverted commas. You know what I mean? Everyone knows the value of stuff now. Back in the day, people were less aware of the value, or they knew the value, in inverted commas, because something's only worth what you're willing to pay for it. But they didn't care. Or the price wasn't, you know, the resale price wasn't as much, so you wouldn't be crying if you wore them. Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing. Now, it's a whole different ball game. Do you know what I mean? You know, like I got a pair of Off-White Fives there, right? Do I wear them though? They're worth like, what, $800 or something like that or whatever. You know, so it's like, you know, especially in lockdown and with work being not as prolific, you know, at the moment because of that. Socially, so you just got to make sure you fight your battles and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? You know, but and you got to be wise with stuff, you know. So, yeah, I mean, anyone who says, you know, criticizes people for doing that is just silly. Just it's your property, do what you want with it. You want to wear the shoes, wear them. If you don't, you don't. But it's how and what you're doing and the integrity that you have with it. Do you know what I mean? Is the key thing. Such a double-edged sword. It's such a double-edged sword, man. It really is. But, you know, some people critique people for not wearing their shoes and some people critique them for wearing their shoes. I'm just like, do what you want. Do what you want. But the thing is, if you're there, like, buying up, like, 500 pairs of one shoe to flip and resell, I ain't really about that. If you're depriving people who actually want that shoe, you know, it's a funny one. It really is. I mean, the hustle's the hustle at the end of the day, but doesn't mean you got to be down with it all the time. You know? That's why I love the Stussy Huarache. The Stussy Huarache is one of the best shoes of all time. The Huarache, for me, is my favorite running shoe of all time. The Stussy Huaraches, right, are two of my favorite, you know, executions of, and I say Stussy in inverted commas because they were never officially a Stussy collaboration, right, are phenomenal. And the fact is, on the resale, you can get them now just like 10, 20, you know, pounds, euros, whatever, above retail. That's fantastic. Because that means people who weren't able to get them can get them, and I think that's an amazing thing. It really is.
sorry. So we've been talking. I think we talked a little bit about sneakers now, and
trainers.
Yeah, we're doing a podcast right now, but there's also another podcast about sneakers that people should listen to. I mean, you're doing your own podcast with a friend. Can you tell us something about
it? Yeah, I thought you were talking about something else. Yeah. So my friend Jason Coles, who was the author of Golden Kicks book, The Shoes That Changed Sport, which is a fantastic book you got to check. And he also wrote Stan Smith's book, I'm Not Just a Shoe, I think is what it's called. Fantastic book.
Yeah.
And I think he's written something else, and he's processed to writing something else as well. And we do this podcast called Soulful Sneaker Stories. And we did the first series last year, and we pulled in some pretty cool guests. We pulled in Stephen Smith, who started off his career at New Balance and has worked with every single major sporting footwear brand in the world. He's worked at Reebok. He's the guy who designed the Instapump Fury. He worked at Adidas and he did the Artillery. He worked at Fila and did the Grant Hill shoe. When he worked at Nike, he did the Zoom Spiridon, the Spiridon Caged, which, you know, Stussy did the flip of last year. And he also did the Zoom Streak, which Supreme collaborated with, and it was also the shoe that Paula Radcliffe broke the world marathon record for ladies years and years ago in 2003, I think. He's designed so many shoes, and now he's the head of footwear design at Yeezy. You know, personally, he was approached by Kanye West to head up that division. And for me, he's probably the greatest shoe designer of all time, and I do say that with due respect to Tinker Hatfield.
Okay.
But when you think about it, Stephen Smith is still designing good shoes. Mm-hmm. He's been designing for 30 plus years. So, and he's gone across all the brands to do it. And the shoes that he's designed there are some of the most amazing shoes ever. And rival, you know, anything that Tinker's put out. But Tinker's, you know, best years, you know, are probably behind him when it comes to design. Where Stephen Smith is still at the apex. But anyway, you know, either way, we're splitting hairs here. It's like comparing, you know, Roger Federer to Pete Sampras, to Djokovic, to Nadal. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, that level of excellence and influence. We had Stan Smith himself. Fantastic. We had Jordi Geller, Shoeseum. You know, we had Aaron Nalo from Reebok. We had one of my favorites. We had SJ Pierce, and we had my boy Richie, New Balance 365 for the New Balance episode. We've had some. Anyway, we had Rod Dixon, who was the first runner and possibly the only runner to design his own shoe and win a marathon in it. Like one of the Grand Slam marathons. And he was the Saucony DXN. So that's the DXN was Dixon. He designed that shoe. He pioneered. He did some crazy stuff that we take for granted with regards to the technology within footwear. Chris Severin. We interviewed Chris Severin, who's the guy who designed the Adidas Superstar. What a gentleman. Anyway, Steve Van Doren. You know, we did some fantastic people. And then we got series two lined up. And cannot wait to announce who we got lined up for series two.
They're currently working on it.
Excuse me?
So you're currently working on season two?
Series two, we're going to start recording that within the next couple of weeks. Yes.
Nice.
And, yeah, so we can't wait. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can find it. It's on all the podcast platforms. It's on Spotify, I think. It's on everything. So, yeah, Soulful Sneakers. So Soulful spelled S-O-L-E, you know what I mean? F-U-L. So it's a play on, you know, being soulful, you know, and having integrity. And what we all step on, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited about that, to talk to people. You know, Jason and I really do approach it just like, well, I hope people appreciate it anyway. Do you know what I mean? You know, and I hope your listeners like it as well, because it's all about sharing the knowledge. Because I don't think knowledge should be, you know, should be held onto and clutched as if it was something, you know, just for you. Knowledge is to be imparted onto everybody, because that way we grow and we become stronger, wiser, better, we innovate, and so on and so forth. And I think that's important.
So with you now having a podcast about sneakers and giving us the opportunity to listen to you talking about something that means so much to you all the time, when are you starting a podcast about food?
I don't even know.
Because up until 2021, yeah, we have 2021 now. I still have a list with restaurants that you sent me like 4 or 3 years ago, and I still live by that list, and I live by your Instagram account, Kish Eats.
Oh, thank you.
So you should really start a podcast about that. And if you're not starting a podcast about food, give us the best spots to eat in London when we can finally...
Well, check out Kish Eats. And once lockdown is lifted, then Kish Eats will resume again, because I don't feel it's right for me to do Kish Eats from food that was delivered. Do you know what I mean? Because I got to present it in a certain way and blah, blah,
it's
blah.
It's not
blah.
The experience, yeah.
And I think it's all about the vibe and it's everything. So, yeah, I think that's when Kish Eats is going to come back. Also, I'm limited to about what I can actually... you know, go and involve myself with, you know, with Kish Eats when everything's shut. So, yeah, when lockdown is lifted, I think it's going to be end of April for restaurants. I can't remember when it is. But, yeah, I'll start doing it. And, yeah, I've got to do a food podcast, but there's so much other stuff that I've got to do. I don't know if I've got time to do it at the moment. That's the trouble. You know, that is the truth. It's the time thing.
For quite a long time, we are working on a podcast episode about soft drinks, just straight soft drinks.
Man.
With a couple of friends of ours who are really into it. I mean, there's nobody more into that topic than Zebi. I mean, he once, out of fun, started a hashtag called Soft Drink Samstag, and nowadays thousands of people are using it every Saturday just to post their soft drink. And that's something that
pretty
we
stupid.
Are really after.
I used to drink soft drinks all the time. And I used to love checking out, you know, when I went to another country, the soft drinks there. but they're just so high in sugar, man. I can't mess with them.
But you guys from the UK, you have the best soft drink of all time, in my opinion.
Which is what?
Iron Brew.
Oh, you like Iron Brew.
Iron Brew Zero, yeah. Because I'm conscious about my body. But Iron Brew Zero, that's my topic.
Iron Brew's good. But they changed the formulation of Iron Brew. And okay. There's a lot of purists who don't like the new formulation. I think they reduced the sugar content, but they did something else as well. So you need to talk to your friend about that, because I know they messed with it.
It tastes orange. Not like the fruit, it just tastes like the color, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe.
Well,
yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Something worth checking out.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Okay, from UK soft drinks to UK brands. Are there any up-and-coming brands that we should look out for? Or
not really? Labrum. Labrum London, my boy Fods, what he's doing there. He's from Sierra Leone, and he's but he moved here. And how he's done everything has been fantastic, just through his raw talent and tenacity. So Labrum London, you know, that's another brand that I wear. Nicholas Daly's doing some fantastic stuff. I like what he's doing. I'm trying to think in terms of brands. What would I wear? I like Creation Brand. Creation Brand is my boy Emmett and Paul Sid. What they're doing is great. Creation Brand is dope. God, I'm going to forget some people, man. It's going to really do my head in, and I'm going to be in trouble. I'm just trying to think who's doing stuff that sends me stuff. Oh, my gosh. And not just sends me stuff that I see in the store. Then you got your traditional brands from here. You know, you got your Maharishi. Maharishi is just going from strength to strength. It's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. The new stuff is just incredible. Palace do what they do. I'm trying to think what else. There's loads of brands here. But for me, one brand that I'm collaborating with is Griffin. Now, Griffin's been going like 20 plus years, and it's technical outdoor gear, but with a fashion twist. And the thing is, Jeffrey Griffin and Karina Griffin, they started off, I think, London College of Fashion years and years ago. And they had a store on Portobello Road in West London. And I was working at Wall of Sound back then for the hip-hop label they had, Bad Magic. And that was one of my regrets as well, because my studio was Banksy's studio. So I'd see Banksy every day. And I was always saying to him, I'll buy one of his paintings off him. I never got round to it. Biggest regret. I've got some regrets, but that's got to be the biggest one. Anyway, he collaborated with Griffin back in the day. And I'm doing a collaboration project with Griffin, which is coming out at the end of this year. And Griffin is like the apex of stuff. It's like re zips, you know, ethical fabrication, utilizing reclaimed materials as well as marrying it with new. And it's worn by ex-special forces as well. So ex-SAS, SBS wear it. So for me, that's the best special forces on the planet, and they co-sign it. So to do a collaboration with Griffin is just unbelievable. So look out for that. Got to shout them out, because what they do is just absolutely amazing. I'm trying to think who else. Oh, no, watch this space. Just look at my Instagram. I don't know. My brain isn't what it used to be. I forget so much stuff these days. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. But I think I've mentioned, you know, the brands that I resonate towards. And of course, obviously, you know, I'm still missing, you know, still wear Stussy and Supreme. And Polo, man. Polo. Polo, Polo, Polo. You know. But there's loads of other brands out there, but I'm not going to give it all away. Do you know what I mean? But
you've got to keep something for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if you see somebody else rocking that stuff, you don't want to rock it anymore. You want to be unique. And that's definitely what you are. So we just talked 1.5 hours, pure knowledge, pure love, pure fun. It was so good talking to you again, my guy. And on a personal note, I don't think if there would ever have been so many Kicks on the Hall sneaker events without me meeting you back then.
Oh, man.
Because that
wow.
gave me so much inspiration.
Oh, man. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Very grateful for that. And I'm grateful that you've been on the show. People can follow you on Instagram if they look for @KishKash1, right?
Correct.
If they look for
Kish Eats.
Yeah, I think it's Kish Eats or Kish Dot Eats. God, I can't even
Kish
remember.
Kish Dot Eats.
I think, yeah, Kish Dot Eats. Yeah. Also, the radio show is The All City Show, and you can check it out. You can check all of that on Facebook as well. And I think and watch out for Soulful Sneaker Stories as well. So I think it's at Soulful Sneaker Stories as well on Instagram. But yeah, we got a lot of things going on. And not enough time to do it.
And we will follow every of those things.
Oh man.
So my man, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, totally. Likewise.
Have a nice
shout
evening,
out to the UK awesome. For their quick vaccinating process.
Let's hope so. And then we can all catch up in person, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty slow here in Germany.
Yeah, man. But it'll pick up.
Yeah, hopefully. Mm.
Have a nice evening.
Cool, man. Peace. You mean?
And bye-bye. To everybody who listened to this podcast, please excuse us if we talk like Germans trying to talk proper English. But
it's been a while since we've been to school and had to talk English.
I hope everybody understands us. And that's it. See you in 2 weeks, my friends. Bye.
Bye.